Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 206 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the show. We've got lots of news. One of the most interesting news items is something that just came out by the time you're watching this a couple of days ago, is one of the most important police forces in Canada as it applies to Ottawa's firearm confiscation program has declined to participate. So that's kind of interesting. Speaking of the confiscation program, as most of you probably already know, the numbers are out for 30 days of the program portal being open, and they are less than impressive. And of course, gun grab / gaslighting Gary has decided that he's going to blame the lack of enthusiasm for his ill-fated program on all kinds of different things. We've got all the details with Wilson about that. The CCFR also participated in a fantastic rally against the confiscation program in Quebec. As well, the Supreme Court of Canada has responded to the CCFR, not with a ruling on whether or not they're going to hear CCFR versus Canada, but at least some kind of court schedule. So anyway, all that and more, CCFR Radio starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. Now, I've only got a couple of things I need to go over with you before we bring Tracy on. And so some housekeeping items, but let's go with the most important thing first, which is an update on our Supreme Court application. So obviously, we had lost our court case at the federal level and at the Court of Appeals. Federal Court of Appeals level, and we still think that there is an error in those rulings. We've applied to the highest court in the land, as it were, and we hadn't heard anything back. Well, we have heard back from the Supreme Court, and what they have told us is our case, to determine whether our case will be heard by the Supreme Court, has been given to a panel of judges, and they will decide, and we should know between 30 and 60 days. I got word on this about 5 days ago, so that's where we're at. So within a month or two, we should know whether or not CCFR versus Canada is going to head to the Supreme Court. I don't know. The timing is weird why it's taken so long, but whatever. I'm glad that we've heard back, and at least we know that our paperwork didn't get lost in the mail or something, as it were. So that's that update. Next thing, couple of housekeeping items. As you guys know, it's raining guns over at the CCFR. Really important contest. I wanted to make sure that every single time that we do a podcast or a television show that I read out the names of the people that are helping us, the businesses that are helping us raise money for our project and for the operations of the CCFR, because those are the people that are truly going out of their way to help gun owners. So when it comes to the contest itself, you have just shy of two months to enter. If you are so interested, donate $20 to the CCFR. You get a free entry. Donate as many multiples of $20 as you like. We will give you as many free entries as as you like to the contest. Read all the contest rules before entering. You can go to ccfr.ca, click on contest or the big pop-up that pops up there that says it's raining guns, and you can get yourself entered. And the people that provided firearms for this contest are the Calgary Shooting Center, Ward and Bud Haynes Auction, Wards and Bud Haynes Auction, Sterling Arms, Chippewa Trading Post, Canuck Guns, otherwise known as Odell Engineering, Select Shooting Supplies, General Gun, SFRC, otherwise known as the AmmoSource.com, Reliable Gun Vancouver, Jost Arms, the CCFR is throwing a couple in, Simply Berkey, that's Justin over in Medicine Hat, Gagnon Sports, Stan's Plumbing Service, Profit River Firearms, CATF, otherwise known as Canadian Access to Firearms, Spectre Ballistics International, Magnus & Sons, YR Firearms, and our general counsel, Loberg Ector. So don't forget who is out there helping us help you. So really important. And the last thing I just want to mention is this coming weekend, I will be at the BC Sport and Wilderness Show at TradeX in Abbotsford. We've got the CCFR booth there. We've got the CCFR laser range powered by Strikeman there as well. And I'll be speaking on the stage there, doing a bit of an update on the buyback and answering some questions and whatnot. So it'd be great to see you all there. More shows coming up, and I will give you a heads up to all of those shows when they're around the corner. Okay. I've covered everything. Let's bring Tracy on. All right, we are back, and via the internet, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Wilson!
Aha, bonjour. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. As you switch to another language, that's enough to just push me right off the rails.
You know? I've been spending some time in La Belle Provence, so I've been practicing my French.
That's awesome. Yeah, we've got that story coming up. We got a lot of positive stuff to talk about, just a little bit of negative, but mostly positive. It's mostly peaceful. And I can't wait to get started. So let's get started with some great news. The Ottawa police, after this long process, have decided they're going to come out against the federal government confiscation program.
Yeah, that's right. So this broke about an hour before we started recording. I know by the time everyone watches this, they'll have already known it because it's out on social media. But this is one of the police forces where I was waiting a significant amount of time to find out if they were going to participate. I've sent a couple of emails to try and follow up. Ottawa is my hometown. I wanted to know what's going on. But more importantly, it's where the government operates. Ottawa is in Ottawa. And I was really curious to see if they would come out against it. And sure enough, with the full support of the police board, which is made up of law enforcement, as well as city councilors, they have come out and voted to not participate in the gun grab. So I don't know, things ain't looking so good for gun grab Gary.
Yeah, well, that's significant, as you said. And you know, it's interesting. I did a quick interview, a television one before, like this morning, before we got going. And right. I think I'd mention in there, I don't think I ever remember, as long as I've been alive, and that's a while now, this many provinces and all the territories and almost all the frontline police, if you equate these different agencies to the number of frontline police, all of these people have lined up against a government policy and a government program. I don't believe I've ever seen anything like it in Canadian history before.
I don't think it's ever happened. Like, this type of massive sweeping opposition is unheard of about any government policy. This is interesting, and yet they still cling to it. So I don't know. I think there'll be some study of this topic in the coming days because it's just going horribly for them. And Gary said, well, in jurisdictions where we don't have the support of law enforcement, we'll be sending RCMP. Well, that's everywhere. And they don't want to do it either. So I don't know. This is becoming a great big mess.
Yeah, it's really something. Now, I guess in continuing in the vein of this failed program, in the first week when the buyback portal, the registration portal first opened, there was, I don't know, 22,000 and change firearms registered there, which if you think about the 2 million in circulation that are affected by these bans, it's like, holy smokes, like that is incredibly low. And then in weeks two and three, and actually, well, I guess week four, we didn't hear anything. And now there's new numbers out.
Yeah. Well, and now they've got, they're up to just under 33,000 firearms. So if you think about it, that first week was sort of monumental. That was the real critical week because people who had already made up their minds, who were going to participate, that's when they'd be rushing to get it done. So there was huge uptake. And then it was nothing but crickets for like 3 weeks almost afterwards. And we were kind of wondering what's going on. How come they're not releasing numbers? You know, we were curious to see. Here we are almost a month in and, you know, less than 33,000 firearms. You have to remember the buyback is nothing more than a registration website. That's all it amounts to right now. That's all that exists. There is no other framework. So the fact that uptake has been so dismal, I think is a, like, that's a statement in itself about support for this program, because I think there's what, 130,000 roughly previously registered, because they were previously restricted, firearms. But even those people, which is this girl right here, is saying, forget it, I'm not doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah, 126,000 restricted long guns that were affected. So, yeah, that is probably the most surprising thing, because, you know, the government knows who has them. And people are like, I'm not even going to participate in your program. Like, the whole thing is actually quite surprising to me. Right.
I mean, I love it. It's going well.
They were creating this Hunger Games model. It's like you had to compete with your fellow gun owners for the little bit of money we're, you know, we're doling out. People are like, yeah, you can keep it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a big, you know, a certain finger to the minister and to this entire program. So
which finger?
I can't tell you. This is a family friendly show, but
is it the middle one by chance?
It might be my middle one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But when we say hold the line, they are holding it steadfast. Yeah.
It's like, these things are actually surprising to me. And I don't know. It's very, this whole thing has turned out to be quite interesting. Now, what else is interesting is the way that Gary Anandasangari's brain works, because it doesn't work like a regular person's. It seems, at least that's my impression of it. He decides he's going to go to the media looking at these completely nonsensical numbers that they're getting, goes to the media and says, oh yeah, and this was a story that came out in the National Post. Oh yeah, the delays have diminished support. It's because it's taken so long to roll this program out. Everyone has either gone to sleep, or maybe they've all died of old age waiting for this program to roll out. And that's why they're not getting the uptake that they thought they would.
You think that must be it, Gary? It's simply because it took you so long to open up the registration portal. It's not because, you know, we refuse to participate. We reject the idea that we're responsible for violent crime, that you've straight up told gun owners that you're going to rip them off, that this is underfunded, undersupported. You know, none of those things come into play. It's just that it was late opening. Right.
Yeah.
Man.
These people, man.
What a
They're
guy.
Really something. Like, they were really something. One thing I do want to mention, probably the only negative story, and we're going to make this part quick because we've got a lot of really fun news, right? And I want to keep it light because we're always, you know, doing all this heavy stuff. But one of the other things that happened over the last couple of weeks were the investigation, this sort of ongoing investigation. I guess the RCMP say the investigation is complete for what happened in Tumbler Ridge, the mass shooting there. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the Liberals and actually the British Columbia, the BC NDP are focusing on is, forget about all the failures in the systems and all the failures. You know, we can talk about what all those are in a second. But they've decided, because the perpetrator was talking about his potential crimes with ChatGPT, with the chatbot, that this is OpenAI's fault, that it's ChatGPT's fault, that no one had any idea this guy existed. You know, only OpenAI knew, and they failed to report. So, you know, they need to be pulled up on the carpet. They need to come to Ottawa. They've been summoned by Evan Solomon to Ottawa to explain where they failed.
I mean, normally they would try and hang stuff like this on our heads. So I am grateful for that. However, you know, this whole story, this whole miserable case has more red flags than a drag race. Like, it's just insane. You know, all the failed bureaucracies, the mental health problems, the red flags of the family, the kid tried to burn his house down. You know, there's just this long 6 to 10 year history of issues. But never mind all that. It's because he was having a conversation with the chatbot. Like, any way at all that they can evade any accountability for the failed system, the failed bureaucracy, the failed healthcare and mental healthcare system, all of that, forget it. You know, no accountability for any of that. It's got to be because of the chatbot. Like, it's, I don't know. Bob Zimmer has called for a public inquiry into this tragedy. I hope he gets it, although I don't have a lot of faith after the MCC. But yeah, I don't know. The people of Tumbler Ridge deserved a lot better.
Yeah. I will agree with you that the people of Tumbler Ridge deserve a lot better. But anyway.
Yes.
All right. We'll leave it there.
Yes.
Okay. So now on to some fantastic news. So you were part of a group of people that were planning a rally in Quebec. And why don't you give us the whole lowdown of who was all part of it, what happened, all of it.
I will not take any credit for planning this rally, because I can tell you there's a very small group of very hardworking individuals who put in all the effort. I'll be perfectly honest. I showed up, you know, wearing the CCFR colors and added my name to it and promoted it. But these people did the work. And that's Sophie Belland and Jason Warren. They're our Quebec directors for the CCFR. Guy Moret, our old friend. He's the president of the Association des Clubs Échanges de Tir de Quebec. So that's like the clubs and ranges of Quebec. Martin Bourget and Keith Nadeau, just a wonderful couple. Really good speakers. Really interesting, dynamic people. They're with Aventure Chasse Pêche and Radio Crash, very popular Quebec gunny kind of show. A big thank you to Stéphane Gamache as well. He brought an entire security team and ran security for this event, and it went flawlessly. So we couldn't have done that without him. And even the Service de Police de Ville de Quebec, like the City of Quebec Police Force, were awesome. They were super agreeable, very helpful. They parked their vehicles so nobody could, you know, ram us with cars or, you know, any crazy stuff. They were just a delight to work with. DJ, remember, his name is Danny Boutat. He was awesome. And he played music through the entire rally. And that was a lot of fun. At first, I was kind of like, I don't know what the deal is with the music. But you can't talk for 3 hours straight, right? You can't rah-rah the whole time. So the music was uplifting, and Gun Grab Gary played multiple times and it got the most applause. But yeah, people were kind of dancing and having fun. We even had Johnny on the spots, and I know you made fun of me for bragging about the toilets, but it is really important when you're at an outdoor event, especially in winter, and the weather was kind of miserable. It's really important for, especially for girls, to have somewhere to go to the washroom. So that was brought to us by an anonymous donor. I know who it is, but they've asked not to be named. And then I dragged a bunch of volunteers, Mark LaFon, Greg Weiss, Kelly Lynn, Damian McMullen, Sean Branch. I probably left a bunch out. But yeah, we left the place clean and spotless. There wasn't a piece of garbage on the floor. There was no disturbances or issues. The music was so fun. There was kids and families everywhere. We were throwing donuts. Guy Moret was hilarious. Mon and Guy throwing donuts at the kids. And it was just this really powerful show of unity for not just Quebec gun owners, but that the rest of Canada stand with them. They're sort of the head of the spear, like the, you know, it was wonderful and just emotional, and thousands of people showed up.
Well, and when you plan these things, you have no idea who's going to show up, how many people are going to show up. So that's great. I mean, the weather wasn't Ottawa in September, early September, right?
No. So it started actually, well, it was supposed to be +5. I don't know that it got there, but it was snowing when we headed out in the morning. That turned to pouring rain. And I mean, we were soaked. It did not diminish the size of the crowd. They still kept coming. And eventually that sort of subsided, but then the wind picked up and made it colder. But you know what? People were wet, but their spirits were high, you know? So yeah, it was just an incredible, magical day in Quebec City, one of the most beautiful cities in the country by far. But yeah, and it's, you know, I spoke a little bit into the microphone. I mostly left it to the people who speak French, obviously. But I said that the good people of Quebec don't deserve what their government's doing to them. They're not to blame for crime and violence. And the rest of the country stands with them. And I think that message resonated, and I mean it. You know, we stand with them.
All right. Wow, that's quite a report.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody was
excited. Sophie was super emotional too. And I just love that. I saw like she had tears in her eyes a few times and she was super emotional. And I know that feeling because I felt it when we did the integrity march and I walked up the steps of Parliament Hill and I sort of, you know, my eyes breached the top and I could see the sea of people in front of me. I know that feeling and it's very powerful. And she's such a humble girl and she's just did a fantastic job. I just couldn't love her any more than I do.
Yeah. A lot of people came together to make that happen.
Yes. It was a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think most people don't understand how much work it is to do something like that. And there's risk and there's expense and there's all kinds of things, right? And that's why you don't see them often as organized as that one and some of the other ones that happened in Eastern Canada either, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been doing rallies for months now, actually, since last fall. But I'm talking, you know, we've had a few hundred people gathering together. This was like a massive, massive event. So of course it takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of people and you always run the risks. You don't know who's in the crowd. You don't know. I think there was one sign, we provided a lot of signs, but people of course are, you know, it's a free country. You're welcome to create your own. We asked to be considerate with the messaging on those signs. And I think there was only one where we said, you know, like, come on, that's not a good sign. And the guy said, no problem. And he gave it to us and we gave him one of ours instead. And we carried on the day and that's it. Like that's the closest thing to a single problem. And it was not a problem. So
that's great.
Yeah. Great.
So, as I was going to say, not everyone is excited that licensed gun owners that get a criminal background check every 24 hours and need spousal sign off and 28-day waiting period. And, you know, renewals every 5 years, all the stuff, all these vetted people. Not everybody's happy that they're like, maybe we should keep the firearms that have been legal for over 100 years in this country. So, yeah. I mean, the people I just described, it's very easy to be like, oh my God, where do these people even come from? So here, enter some, I guess you'd call him a journalist, this Tristan Peliquin, which I'm going to be calling Tristan Pangolin from now on, because in my opinion, he has the intellect of a pangolin. I don't know. Maybe they're sharp. Maybe they're a sharp animal. But he'd been up to all kinds of skullduggery, including the usual headline manipulation. Why don't you just tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's right. So there was a story that went out and it was sort of syndicated. All the media picked it up. And as you know, one of our literally trademarked slogans is my guns are not for sale. And a lot of the signage had this on it. People were wearing our merch there that said it. And this story came out. And within the story, it talked about, you know, the message from gun owners is our guns are not for sale. However, the headline, the caption for the story was, you know, protesters say their weapons are not for sale. And I know it's just a word. And I mean, sure, a firearm can also be a weapon. Yes. But it's the point of the manipulation of a known slogan. Like it's almost a famous saying, right? And the fact that it appeared in the story down below, the picture they used had a guy with our hat on that said, my guns are not for sale. Like it's everywhere. But the caption is my weapons are not for sale. And I think that's intentional, right? It's to create fear and, you know, it just sounds harsh. So I tweeted at them yesterday about it. Like I actually kind of laughed, like LOL at Toronto Star or whatever the outlet was that shared it, but many of them did. And today actually they've posted a retraction and they corrected the headline for the story. So
can you imagine.
Yeah.
Well, Tristan Pangolin, he wasn't done. I guess he's on the radio in Quebec.
Yeah, that's right. So Sophie Belland, our Quebec director, she's just a real peach and she's been doing some French media for us. As you know, neither one of us speak good enough French to interview in. So she's been doing some interviews. And of course, with the rally coming up, she got quite a bit of media requests to go on different radio shows. And she went on a show with him. And it was so like we've been through some abrasive, hostile kind of interviews, but this was over and above. The way she was treated by him was absolutely abhorrent. In fact, she ended the interview. She was like, you know what? We're done here. He called her a liar. He accused her of holding this rally to, you know, support some kind of self-defense or whatever, which, I mean, I'm not opposed to that, but that's not what this rally was about. This was strictly about opposing the gun grab, right? It's the same thing all the rallies have been about. And it's the way he treated her so badly that she literally had to get off that interview, get off the radio and be like, we're done. She ended it. And it does, it takes a lot to kind of shake her up. And yeah, he's just a horrible person. So I hope she files a complaint with the CRTC. You don't have to agree with her politics or even her stance on things, but you don't get to invite her on your show so you can humiliate her, berate her, and accuse her of being a liar. So it's just not okay.
Yeah. Well, these people like Tristan Pengelin are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
A dime a dozen. Yeah. And, you know, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the same clown. With all due respect to clowns, by the way, I don't want to sully the name of clowns because these people are professionals doing a great job at kids' parties and circuses and whatnot.
McDonald's.
This guy, didn't he buy an AR-15 magazine or a handgun magazine and actually pull the pin out, creating a prohibited device just to show that he could do it?
Yeah, that's right. This was, you know, over some debate about pin magazines, right? Because Polly's always wanted to get rid of magazines and they have to be like permanently changed to only fit 5 because you could just pull the pin out of it. And it's like, well, you could, but that's a criminal offense. Like, that's why we don't do it, because it's against the law. So this guy, to prove some kind of like investigative journalism theory, he goes out, buys a magazine, alters it, and then writes a story on it. It's like, yeah, well, if I could hold a lighter to my hair and it's going to catch on fire. Like, of course, dumb, that's how it works. Yes, laws can be broken. Criminals do it every day. Like, it's just the most bizarre logic to me. And then, of course, Polly's sharing the story saying, see, it can be done. Well, yeah, it can be done. You just don't do it. You choose not to break the law. Like,
yeah, well, you can smash somebody, a stranger, over the head with a baseball bat, too. But sure, it's illegal.
You could, but you shouldn't.
And dangerous.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, it's just, and I mean, going to the magazine thing, you can 3D print a magazine, by the way, and they'll last actually a long time. They're strong enough, 3D printed magazines, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Mr. Pengelin is just, I don't know what's wrong with that guy, but if he sends me a media request, he's not getting an answer.
Yeah. Well, I'd be more than happy to talk to him in person. If he ever wants to show up in Ontario at any of the shows and he wants to have a little interview or whatever, I'd be more than happy to talk to him, and then him and I can work it out.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. Anyway, in English, obviously.
Yes.
Because I can't even say Saint Hyacinth, apparently.
Saint Hyacinth.
So.
Yeah.
When you say our French isn't as good, like, I have no French. So.
I've got a little bit now. Yeah, I've been practicing, and I was even ordering breakfast at the restaurant completely in French. So, yeah. I'm trying.
Oh, how come I hadn't heard of this?
Well, because you don't speak French, so I can't speak French to you.
The notifications were in French. All right, let's move on to our last item, which is the CCFR AGM. So make sure that you put this this date on your calendar. And I believe tickets, by the time this comes out, tickets will be live. And it is our annual general meeting in Mississauga, Ontario on May the 23rd.
That's right. So we'll be on May the 23rd. We're going to be gathering together. You and I are going to do an Ask Me Anything. We've got some great guests. We're going to have a great menu, delicious roast beef and chicken and all kinds of good stuff, and just a rocking good time. All the details can be found at ccfr.ca. There's a web story there. Everything you need to get a ticket, book your hotel, all that stuff. Everything's in the link. Be there or be square. It's going to be a great time. And just in case, I'm going to be bringing the laser range and challenging people to duels. So you can come and try your luck against me and see if you think you can outshoot me.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Come on down. Come see us. It's been 2 years since we had a physical AGM. So that'll be great to see everybody in person. And And yeah, it's an easy drive from the airports in Mississauga, which we did that on purpose. And hopefully we get all of our great friends and supporters out there to party in person for once, you know, not just via the internet.
Yeah, I really love getting together with everybody. And if you're flying in, it's super easy because there's a shuttle, a free shuttle from the airport right to the hotel. So easy peasy. Come on in and let's have a good time.
Awesome. Well, that's the end of our list. Thanks for the update. And I guess we will see you next time.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 206 of the CCFR Radio podcast. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. Make sure you share the podcast, all the things that I always say. You can see I'm getting tired of saying that whole spiel at the end, right? I'm just like, remember all the other things I said? It's those things. But we've got a couple of things to go over with you that are important just before I let you go. And the most important thing is Field Officer of the Month, not just for February 2026, but for January as well. We've been all running around like a bunch of lunatics since Christmas. So we're behind on a number of different things. So CCFR Field Officer of the Month for January 2026 is our great friend, the incomparable Sophie Belland from the Quebec team. Sophie, you are awesome. Tracy and I talked about Sophie at length during our chat. So she is Field Officer of the Month. Second time she's won it for January 2026. And for February 2026, our great friend, Vincent Leckie. So Vincent and his lovely wife, Karen, do so much volunteering for the CCFR. We couldn't do anywhere near the amount of stuff that we do in Quebec without Sophie and the Quebec team, and in Alberta with Vincent, Karen, and Connor, and everyone else in the Alberta team. Just fantastic people. So Vincent and Sophie, you are field officers for January and February. And if you have forgotten, what you get is a year's free subscription from Canadian Access to Firearms, otherwise known as CATF, graciously donated every month by our one of the greatest gun owners in the country, Donovan Dewis, over there at CATF, as well as a $100 promo code to the CCFR's online store, of course. And you get mentioned, of course, here on the podcast and our nationally broadcast television show on Wild TV called CCFR Radio on the Air in its fifth season, if you can imagine. So thanks, guys, so much for all your work. Really appreciate it. One thing I did want to say about Sophie is Tracy and I kind of touched on that Sophie has been, she's put a lot of work in to get to the point where she's been asked by us to do French language interviews. Now, there's a lot that goes into that. If you are not in the position to do that kind of stuff, you have no idea what the prep work is to to do interviews advocating for the gun lobby in Canada, especially in Quebec, right? It's just incredible. And Sophie, English speakers have told me that Sophie has done a fantastic job of it. So we really appreciate that help, and she's the right person for that job. So Sophie, as Tracy and I mentioned, she had a hostile interview. Now it's wild. And I just want to say something about Sophie and the fact that she has made it through that and that she has taken that punch in the face for gun owners in Quebec, because I will tell you this. It is wildly stressful, like super uncomfortable, super stressful, probably take, I don't know, 2 weeks off of your life. If you get in an argument with just another person, like in person, in front of 10 people, where they are calling you a liar or accusing you of lying, trying to apply whatever they think your motivations are, you know, implying that you're somebody you're not, or you're doing something you're not, or whatever. If you're doing that in front of like 5 or 10 people, it is extremely uncomfortable. Doing that on the radio, when every reaction that you have somebody slandering you in front of, I don't know, a million people, and those words live forever, because not only in the minds and of everyone that's heard it at the time live, but it's that all that stuff's archived and recorded and can be brought up anytime for the rest of your life. But not only that, all of your reactions to this, you know, persecution that you're experiencing in live on the radio. Like, it's really, really uncomfortable. I had one notable hostile interview and I got through that fairly. I think I did a really good job of that, and I'm my own biggest critic, but holy smokes, it was all a front, because it took me an hour for my heart rate to go down. Like, it's really, really stressful. So I'm sorry that Sophie had to go through that, but it's funny. I don't know if a lot of people heard that one or something, but nobody ever tried it again with me. I mean, I've had some kind of probing questions and some, you know, spirited interviews, but never like that, never hostile like that, where people are just losing their minds and then saying crazy stuff and accusing me of things, like, never, right? So anyway, the good news for Sophie is that once you've been through that, you are so much better at this game having gone through that. So anyway, I'm sorry that Sophie had to experience that, but she's going to be even better than she was thanks to whatever that guy's name was again, Tristan Pengelin, this clown, right? Like, I don't know I don't know where they manufacture people like Tristan Pengelin, but my God, man, talk about having no purpose to be around. But anyway, last thing I want to mention is just a quick reminder. I will be at the BC Sport and Wilderness Show at the TradeX in Abbotsford this coming weekend. So if you are around, drop by, see us. I will be doing a little speech about the gun buyback. Having heard everything that Tracy and I talked about the confiscation program, it actually should be a pretty funny talk. Maybe I'll get up there and just express how I really feel about all this stuff. We'll see the kind of mood I'm in. And it also depends on how many people show up, because sometimes you don't have a lot of people attending those talks. But I will be there, and I'll be there at the booth, and we'll have the laser range. And then the following weekend, I will be at the BC Outdoor Show in Chilliwack. Same sort of deal there. Drop by, see us. I will be there, and we'll have the laser range as well. Okay. I think that's it for now. Thanks, everyone. Really appreciate it. Don't forget, it's raining guns over the CCFR, and that contest closes May the 1st. Donate $20, get a free entry into the contest. We're giving away 100 guns, and I'd mention all the great people that donated guns for that contest. We basically, all the guns are donated, so fantastic. Again, every single episode, I will tell you who reached into their pocket and pulled out resources to help the CCFR help you, in turn to help me and all gun owners for that matter. So anyway, make sure that you read all the contest details before entering, and enter before May the 1st. And maybe you'll win one of 100 guns that we are giving away. All right. Thanks everyone for watching and listening again. Take care. We'll see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.